everybody. My name is Becky Anderson and my pronouns are she, her, and as you can probably tell, I've still got a bit of COVID in my voice. But hello, listeners. My name is Becky Anderson and I will be GMing tonight's episode of Black Armada Tales After the War. This is a game written by Alistair Stewart and Jason Pitcher. My pronouns are she, her, and my amazing players, in alphabetical order, using last names first, are...
Oh my god. Hi. I'm first for the first time ever. This is very exciting. My name is Nick Bate with a B. My pronouns are he, him. I'm playing Odd Alvarez, who is the last man out. And his pronouns are also he, him.
Hi. I'm Sue Elliott, as in House of Elliott, which most people outside of the UK won't get. My pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing Novak the Bull, whose pronouns are he, him.
I'm Josh Fox. I remember the House of Elliot. Great show. I can't remember what else I was supposed to be talking about. I'm playing Major Grillani, the best bear in the galaxy. His pronouns are he, him. My pronouns are he, him. The end.
I am delighted that everybody else has beginning of the alphabet last name, so I didn't even need to work out my order because I know mine is much later than theirs. I am Liz Lovegrove with an L. My pronouns are she or they. My character is Listener Ojibawa, the caller of silence, and her pronouns are she, her.
Lovegrove's not even that far through the alphabet.
I know, but it's much further on than Bate, Elliot, and Fox, or for that matter, Anderson.
And can I just add, last episode, when we were going alphabetical by first names, I do notice there was no hesitation, Liz, that you jumped in first and then said, Liz.
Yeah.
I know. And I have to do a little calculation. Half the time I get the little calculation wrong. If I said Elizabeth, it would be less confusing.
Hope everyone enjoyed my snake draft there, especially
me. Oh, yeah. That was very exciting.
Hello everyone, it's Josh here. Just wanted to let you know that we are coming up for our 50th episode of Black Armada Tales. It's a big milestone for us and we're really proud to have got this far. We are going to celebrate by holding an Ask Us Anything session, which, if we can get the technology working, will be streamed live on October the 19th. We'd really love to have your questions, anything about the podcast, about food, about any of the nonsense that we talk about in the stingers, anything you like, just send us those questions. You can send them to our Twitter account, which is at BArmadaTales, or you can email me at blackarmadatales@vaporspace.net. I'm not going to spell that out, just have a look in the show notes for that email address. And looking forward to hearing your questions.
Right. Have we got the name of a bar on this godforsaken planet, by the way? I feel like we came up with one.
We did, it's true.
The bar should also be named after, like, culture ships. So the bar should be, like, our last best hope.
I know I mentioned, like, a mess, but that's not the same thing.
Lisa often makes fun of me for struggling with the difference between words like bar and mess. It's all the same kind of thing. It's the same with pans and saucepans and frying pans, and it's all just a pan. So probably I meant the mess.
You could call the bar the mess.
And the mess the bar.
It's just confusing.
All right, listen, I'm just going to call it the mess. And
I remember the first time that I met Listener Ojibawa. I was heading to the mess to meet with my quad mates for a drink, as we do from time to time. And as I approached the tent in which the mess is housed, I heard the most incredible racket. A lot of shouting and laughing, which is not that unusual for the mess, but it was louder than usual. As I nosed my way into the tent, I saw the most incredible sight. Captain Cravalia, not normally noted for her loudness or friendliness, was standing on a table, recounting the tale, of which she is normally greatly embarrassed, of how she blew up a toy factory, thinking that it was a munitions production line. As the people of the mess listened on with rapt attentiveness and sat right next to my quadmate was listener Ojibawa. Her long, bell-bedecked dreads hanging either side of a face that was lighting up the room with its attentiveness. I have never seen anybody get Cravalia to open up so quickly as this person must have done, and as I took a seat in the corner, I watched as one by one she did the same thing with every other person in the room, drawing their stories out of them and getting them to open up about their personal secrets. It was most impressive, and of course, I followed suit shortly after.
Thank you.
Before we kick off with the scene, I would like everybody to restate for the record their beliefs, because I think that it's important when we set up scenes and things like that, that we are orienting them at people's beliefs. And I think it'd be nice for everyone to have a refresher. And I think it'd be nice for the listeners to have a refresher as well.
Listener Ojibawa's beliefs are, we are all puppets of the song, which is a value neutral proposition. She doesn't necessarily think that's good or bad. And we can only rebuild and thrive by being a united people.
Major Grillani's beliefs are, together we can, must and will build a new future, and the strong should always protect the weak.
Aww.
Suddenly Odd's beliefs feel a bit bleak to me in comparison.
I think that is correct.
So Odd Alvarez's beliefs, the less bleak one is my daredevil days are done, and his other belief is we're all already dead, we just haven't figured it out yet. And that's not literally dead, that's metaphorically. This is the end of the line for civilization in the galaxy. Not we're ghosts.
Well, I'm gonna join Nick in the bleak camp, yeah. I think. So my beliefs are always respect the chain of command, and there is nothing you shouldn't do to survive.
Yeah.
So many horrible possibilities.
Come and join us on the light side.
Okay, so what I did last time was that I heavily GM'd the scenes because they were intro scenes. I'm going to do the same for listener Ojibawa, and then we're going to move into doing a slightly more distributed way of setting up doing scenes as written in the book. But I wanted to kind of do a more heavily GM'd version for the intros to get you all kind of nicely settled into your characters. So I'm going to frame a scene with listener Ojibawa and Issan. Do you remember who that is, Liz?
My friend, a Terran faithful who believes that family keeps us human. He is a metal worker who assists with extending the long room for free as community service. We discuss theology and humanity. That's who he is.
Incredible memory.
Yes, my memory's incredible.
So I'm going to suggest that maybe the two of you are, if you're okay with it, sitting outside enjoying a little bit of sunshine in the morning before it gets too hot, and there's like a little upturned, do you know those kind of things that look like cotton reels, but they're like absolutely massive cotton reels? Yes, but like the cotton reels that were maybe reels for kind of giant cables or something, so they're kind of the size of tables. I love those. So got one of these giant cotton reel, not cotton reel tables, that you're both sitting at.
Cable spools.
Cable spools, is that what they're called? Is that an official, if we say cable spools, will people be able to Google it and get pictures and know what we mean?
I have no idea, I just made it up. So damn, probably it. Not. Sorry.
Well, if anybody knows the correct name for those things that look like giant cotton wheels, cotton.
A cable spool is giving me a bunch of images that look like exactly the thing you're describing.
There we
Point
go.
Point for me.
Point for Liz. Listener and Issan are sitting at a giant cable spool with no cable on it, using it as a table. They've probably both got maybe a battered tin mug of something hot that to wake you up in the morning, and just been enjoying kind of a quiet early morning conversation before the hecticness of the day starts.
listener will take a swig and kind of sit back and give a kind of long, contented sigh.
I think that Issan will shift uncomfortably in his chair and rub one of his shoulders and stretch out a bit. I didn't sleep very well last night, and I've got a long day ahead of me, so...
There's a lot of that around, my friend. Lots of bad dreams in the camp. You too? Bad dreams?
I have been having bad dreams, as it happens. I wasn't going to mention it, because everybody's been having them, like you say, and it seems a bit silly to complain about them. They're just dreams, after all.
Well...
But...
Why don't you tell me about it?
Ah, it's just... Look, I'll tell you, but it's a ghost story, so... And it's just a dream, and it doesn't mean anything. Do you remember hearing tales about that ship? I can't remember the name of it. The one that was supposed to be haunted.
I know the ship.
What was it called again?
The listener knows the name.
The Temporary Reprieve.
It's the Temporary Retrieve. Reprieve.
I remember stories about that thing. Before it came down, I heard stories in the fleet about it. About how there was a ghost in the machine and systems would turn themselves on and off and people heard voices where there shouldn't have been any and all of that sort of stuff. And I know that there are rumours that it has crash-landed here. And I'm probably just having a stupid dream because everybody else is having the same stupid dream and it's all caught up in my brain. But I can see it in my dreams. I don't know if I'm seeing the real ship or if I'm imagining something with 15 doors all turning inwards the wrong way round or whatever. But, you know, like a dream version of some space that's half familiar and half not. But I can see the ship in my dream and I'm walking its corridors and listening to the whispering in the walls. And it's just, it's not even that scary, you know. But I wake up and I'm not refreshed. I feel like I've been, well, walking through spaceship corridors all night, basically.
You're not the only one, my friend.
That is not comforting, listener.
Well, I don't necessarily trade in comfort, as you know. But you're not the only one. And I'm increasingly thinking that the ship is there, it is reaching out. I think it started with people who had served near it, maybe, and it's been spreading.
Do you know where it is?
I don't. I think there are enough clues in the stories people have told me of their dreams that if we put them together, we'd find a jigsaw that would lead us there. I don't know where it is, but I think with a few questions I could find it.
Well, I think that leads us on to a bigger question. Do we want to? I'm feeling pretty paranoid right now. I know what it means when people start seeing things and hearing things.
Well, it's my job and I think my obligation to listen to the things that people hear and to follow where that leads us.
Are we hearing the song?
Probably. But if you ask someone else, they'll tell you something different.
Well, I will go and ask somebody else because I want some comfort after this conversation.
My friend, my comfort is in honesty, not in easy words.
I will take my comfort in dancing and a soft bed tonight.
Well, I'll dance with you tonight and I'll buy you a drink.
I'm going to need one, maybe more.
I'll see you at the mess this evening then. I'll buy you a drink. We'll dance.
All right. Well, I better get to work. There's some panels that have been coming off the long room and I said I'd fix them before Market came on board, so.
Take a rest in the daytime if you can. I've not heard of any of the dreams coming during the day. You might be able to sleep better.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I think thank you. But I will see you after work. Okay, end of scene, I think, unless you've got something else you want to say?
No.
So now, everybody has heard a quick intro, which is lovely, and now we get into how we frame scenes more collaboratively.
Tell us how we do that, Becky. We don't know how to do that.
I'm gonna.
Don't like collaboration.
Collaboration sucks.
We want to be railroaded, damn it.
You need to establish a scene before you can begin playing. While some games leave this up to the GM, the song has taught us the power of collaboration. I thought the song was the bad guy. Anyway.
Thanks, song.
Thanks for perspective.
Three people will decide on different components of each scene. The three elements of each scene are, one, the platform. That's basically like the initial setup and situation when I was spending far too much time describing a cable spool. So everybody else can show how they can do it much more slickly than that. The next thing is the tilt.
Sorry, who does this stuff?
We decide amongst ourselves. Three different people.
Right. So hang on. So we each individually decide in a dictator-like fashion, or we come to a consensus on the three things?
No, what happens is I will pick three people, one of whom will choose the platform, one of whom will choose the tilt, and one of whom will choose the question.
Cool.
But inevitably, us being us, we are going to do that at least in a bit of a collaborative way, because we are incapable of going through and only doing it by fiat.
Exactly.
Just that I don't have any ideas of my own.
You have far too many ideas of your own, Nick. And they're all brilliant. But anyway, let me tell you what the tilt is. The tilt is the inciting incident that drives the action. So the problems, the threats, the mysteries to be dealt with in the scene. So the platform is your starting point, and the tilt is like, what's going to happen next? One of the bits of advice is, it says, look to the platform for inspiration and consider who is unhappy with the status quo.
So is the platform like where and when you are?
Yeah.
The tilt is like what interesting thing is happening?
Yeah.
And what's the third thing?
I'm very pleased you asked me that, Josh, because that's the next thing I'm going to say. The question.
Oh, I can't wait.
What's the compelling thing you want to explore in the story or in the scene? What is directing everyone's attention towards certain issues, beliefs, or people? So they might address the mysteries or the problems provided in the tilt.
Right.
The reason that I wanted you all to restate your beliefs at the start is because I think that the person who's setting up all of these things, the platform, the tilt, and the question, if you've got half a mind to how can I prod someone's belief, how can I hook someone's belief and draw it in, I think that's a good thing.
Do we do it in that order?
Yes. I think it'd be hard to do it outside of that order.
I disagree. I think it'd be better to do it in the exact reverse order.
Oh my god, well, should we start doing it rules as written, and then we'll do a snake draft, and we'll do question tilt situation, and see if Josh on the hoof has out-designed the person who's laboured over this for hours.
Dear Jason and Alistair, I have a few thoughts about your...
Please listen to 17 hours of this podcast.
We love you, Jason and Alistair. I forgot what I was going to say.
I'll jump in then and say the whole point of the question is that that's the thing you need to answer to end the scene. That's
right.
Yeah.
But if the scene seems to be like wandering too much, then I will end it. I will end that scene.
With chainsaw.
with violence if necessary. I will end it.
With extreme prejudice.
It's like I'm not going to let it kind of meander on in a shit way. The other thing that I was going to say was, has everybody remembered what the main kind of mechanic is in the game?
I don't think I ever knew, so I can't possibly have remembered. I didn't even know there was dice until an hour ago.
What happened to carrying emergency dice with you just in case?
I'm in like, my house.
When did we stop doing that?
At the point that
when
we discovered
playing diceless
this
games.
Kind of game.
So if there is a conflict, I believe, and Nick can correct me on this because he's read the system about as much as I have. If there is a conflict on what is going to happen in a scene, and that conflict is between the players about how something should play out in a scene, not between the characters necessarily, although it could be both, then you roll. I am a little fearful that we are so collaborative that this may never happen because we've been so well schooled.
I was just going to say, is it theoretically possible to never roll dice in this game?
Yes, it is. And I'm quite worried that that might be an issue for us. And if it is, I will see. I'll see what I think.
We're just going to have to be really opinionated. We're just going to have to overcome
Josh is taking
our desires.
That challenge.
It's just going to be like, that's a shit idea. I think instead this should happen.
That would totally improve everyone's fun.
genuinely scared.
This is where beliefs matter, right? Because if your character's belief is that we should be shooting on sight, and my character's belief is that we should be absolutely never shooting on sight, then...
Yeah, I'm too conflict averse to... for it.
I disagree, Sue. I think that you're not conflict averse.
Oh no, roll the dice to decide whether Sue is conflict averse.
Sorry, one other thing to point out. I think at the end of that process, we each decide if our characters are in or not the scene. Is that right?
Yeah, you decide whether you are in actor mode, which is basically role-playing your character and participating, or whether you're in audience mode, which might mean coming in as NPCs. I'm not entirely sure what the GM is supposed to do, but do not worry about me.
Just to clarify, though, in setting the platform and the tilt, I would have thought that naturally some characters might be placed in the scene.
I
presumably,
think so.
That they are then bound to say, "Well, I'm going to be in actor mode."
Yes, I think that if the scene is between Odd and Cena, if Sue sets a scene between Odd and Cena in Odd's bunk room, then it's not
Odd
cool
is fucking in the scene.
For Nick to be like, "Yeah, Odd's not in the scene." It's like, no, he's in the scene.
I'm out.
Conflict. So I'm going to choose somebody to do the platform, somebody to do the tilt, and somebody to do the question on this next scene. Now that we're all nicely warmed up, I'm going to choose Sue to do the platform. I'm going to choose Nick to do the tilt. And I'm going to choose Liz to do the question.
So I think. I don't think our characters wanted to fanny around too much before we left for our little adventure. So I think we are probably still within the settlement, but I think we are on one of the main routes out of, like, at the entrance to one of the routes out of the settlement, just doing last minute checks of whatever supplies we need, and I think we've got a kind of a holographic map. I think there must be kind of maps of what we know of the yard so far. So we've probably got that in front of us, and I think Odd and Jurak are probably working together to plot out the sort of first stage of the journey.
Can I add a slight detail to that?
Yes, absolutely, you can.
I think it'd be nice, Odd, if what you were using was the map that Cena had scratched into your wall, and you've, like, taken, like, effectively a crayon and put a piece of paper over that and then gone over it with the crayon to kind of make effectively a brass rubbing
yep.
off the map.
Definitely, although I don't think I've got that out. I think that's tucked in a pack somewhere because I don't think Odd's necessarily brought up the whole thing that Cena's been through. And so just for refreshing the listener's memory, by which I mean mine, Jurak is the previous guide who came back to the settlement and told us about... He was guiding the people from Daedalus?
Yes. I think Jurak and another tracker were taking the Daedalus people. I don't think they realised that they were from Daedalus at the beginning.
That's right. Yeah.
They had disguised themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if they disguised themselves. It was more like they just didn't announce
who
they
were.
Yeah. And but I didn't think Jurak was actually coming with us. I thought Jurak was... because that's why we'd...
She might not be, but maybe...
She's just helping with the
preparation. We're having a bit of a chat. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that.
Yep. Okay, so the tilt is the inciting incident that drives the action. And the inciting incident that drives the action is the... Well, I'm going to state this as a fact, but this might be Odd's opinion. The map is bullshit. It's not right. And Odd knows it's not right. Some part of it is or is convinced it's not right. Some part of it early in the journey is just completely wrong as far as he's concerned. And Jurak disagrees. Yeah. So that's the inciting incident, I think.
Then the question, and let me know if you think that was, this is an inappropriate use of question, but I think the question could be, is that disagreement about the rightness of the map based in physical fact, or is something messing with somebody's head, either in their perception or in possibly the physical reality of the area mapped, or possibly in the map itself?
That question is 100 times better than anything I would have come up with.
That's so good. Who's going to be in this scene? I would like to suggest that Listener is also in this scene to give Liz the opportunity to see whether she wants to join this mission or not.
I am happy to be in.
And Odd is definitely there. I used my tilting powers to make me be there. And to make me the centre of the scene. I am a rampaging egomaniac.
What's Listener's skill set?
Listening to people.
Apart from listening to people.
Good question. I think it's probably the listener, by the way, because it's a title, not a name. Well, it's not completely clear. Something around kind of counselling, religious, not quite leader, but something in that sort of mystically sort of vein.
Okay. Sure. Well, I reckon we're all in this scene in that case.
Yes.
The only person who there was any doubt about was Listener, the listener.
And I'll play Jurak, so...
Oh, nice.
I declare this scene open.
Look, Jurak, I mean, I don't have a horse in this race, but the map's not right.
I've already taken them well past the first chunk of this map. And I'm telling you, it is.
Did you use this map to get you there? Or is it just a version of this map that was in your head?
Well, obviously I didn't use this map to get me here because this map didn't exist when I went. But, I mean, are you map-splaining to me?
Jurak, do you have a map about your person?
No. I'm a guide because I know the routes in and out.
That's fair, and I don't mean to... I'm not trying to start anything, Jurak. Seriously, I know you're good at your job. But
there's a but there. Just yeah, spit it out.
This map's not right.
What's not right about it?
So you said you took them through some wreckage of some sort of cargo ship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and is that the bit that's marked here on the map?
Yeah, it's that narrow alleyway bit that's on the map. Like a narrow alley. That's where the shipping containers have fallen off and there's basically a bit of a rat run down there.
I've just dug myself into a corner now. I've got to dig myself out. Right, okay. So there's this run down. There's this rat run down here, right? How long were you walking through it?
I don't know, actually. It wasn't long. No, hang on. Okay, so this is the part where there are a bunch of, I don't know what you would call them, but like mini defense mechas kicking around. The tiny ones. You know what, you've been out there. You can run into them and they're all running on some sort of automated SEC program. But they can do a bit of damage if you're not careful. We run into a bunch of them here and we had to get through this bit really fast because we were sitting ducks in the alley.
Right, and this is what I'm getting at. Two things. First of all, why are there security mecha in some old cargo ship? But more importantly, look at that map. That's, you can't run through that bit. It's a day's travel. It's not right.
Jurak, can you describe the security mecha? Were they the same kind we see, for example, over on this section of the map, where we know there to be non-functioning security mecha just lying around the place? Are they the same make, same build?
They're a bit like that, but they were sort of slightly different. I hadn't seen anything like this before. I assume that they'd come over from, I don't know. There's a section over here on the map where we don't go into very often. I assume they come from here, because we don't know very much about what inhabits that sector. But they were sort of, they were almost like a dog. They had like four legs.
Did they look like normal belter manufacture?
I didn't get that close to them. But who would have manufactured them if it wasn't for the belters? They weren't alien, no offence, Major.
None taken.
Well, there are a few of Earth manufacture, but they're generally of a very different style from the belter ones.
Odd. You appear to be saying that the map has the correct content on it, but that it is to the wrong scale, if I'm following you correctly. Is that right?
I mean, yeah. Like, there are other issues, but it's the big one for the start, right?
Is it possible that you might have only partial memory of the trip, Jurak?
Well, where would the rest of my memory have gone, Major?
I'm just trying to reconcile the two views here. I cannot understand how you could both agree that this defile between containers exists, but Odd believes that it is a long journey through there, and you are saying that you went through there quite quickly.
Hang on. Wasn't there a story, Odd, amongst the trackers about 4 years ago of some sort of, and stay with me, but some sort of wormhole or something opening up between two sections and then getting shut down again? Like, I know that it was the sort of thing that everyone was just talking about drinking in the mess. But what if there was something truth to it?
I mean, like, I've seen some shit, Jurak. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know.
There was some experimental... Well, I reckon there was some experimental war tech on some of those ships out there.
Yeah, but a cargo ship...
Was anything just a cargo ship at the end of the war? Was anything just anything normal at the end of the war, for fuck's sake?
Some of the cargo was very unusual. Some of the cargo ships would have needed to be likewise.
Some of it was people, remember? Being shipped off, stuffed off for the tormentor in their heads. Nothing was normal at the end.
Grolani, what have you got me into here? I mean, we're barely out of the settlement and we're talking about wormholes and security mecha.
I'm very glad that I succeeded in persuading you to come along, God, since if I had not, we would not be aware of this disparity that you've drawn our attention to. What I am interested in is whether Jurak came back the same way.
It's a fair question.
Now I've got to think, I'm not sure.
Answer the question, Jurak. Stop farting around.
I can't remember.
Interesting.
I must have done. I must have done, mustn't I? It's the most direct route.
Do you remember the journey back at all? Or do you just assume that you took it?
Well, I didn't teleport here, did I?
That's not what I asked.
I was running out of supplies. I was running out of water. It all became a bit of a blur.
I don't know. Running out of supplies, running out of water. It sounds like a long trek to me.
You were in quite the state when you got back. And you're still not fully recovered. The memories might return in a couple of days, but we can't wait that long.
We have little option but to retrace Jirak's steps and hope that the truth reveals itself to us.
I mean, I kind of got another option, which is just forget about this shit, pack it up and go home.
We can't do that, my friend. The dreams are spreading throughout the camp. It's not just your companion.
What dreams?
Have you been speaking with Sina?
No. But I've heard about Cena's dream, and I've heard similar stories from a number of other people across the camp.
I think Odd probably looks quite uncomfortable with this.
What dreams?
Yes, I think you'd better enlighten us, hadn't you, both of you?
It's Anbagri. You all know him, I assume?
Yeah.
Yep.
He told me a dream of the temporary reprieve. Other people that I spoke to over the last 2 or 3 days. At first I thought it was just the presence of the shipyard, of the ships, the usual post-war trauma, whatever usual means in these circumstances. But more and more people have told me separate pieces of what is, I think, one unified story. I believe if we talk to them all, we can compile together from their dreams a path through the boneyard, a path to the temporary reprieve. And I believe we are being given that path deliberately.
Look, I mean, sure. But I don't know that we need to... I mean, you know, I've spoken with Jurak. I know which way she went. I know the ground here. Look... Let's just do this now. I can get us there.
What are you not saying, Odd?
I think Odd probably snaps around to look at Novak when you say that and says, well, I mean, listener said, right? Cena's been having this dream. We spoke. Look, I know the boneyard, right? If we just go now, then we can get there and get it done and you know, put this to bed rather than having to raise a ruckus in the settlement, you know?
I am inclined to agree with that assessment. If for no other reason that the Daedalus people are out there, we cannot afford to take the time to sift through dreams in the hopes of getting a better route.
I think Odd points at the Major and kind of looks at Novak like, huh?
Novak holds Odd's gaze with just this his poker face, his classic poker face, and says, yes, I agree with the Major as well. I'm sure you can get us there, Odd.
Yeah, Odd doesn't have a poker face. This is making him very uncomfortable.
I think Grilani is not terribly comfortable with the tension between the two of you and just goes, well, that's excellent then. We're all in agreement. And Jurak, I am questioning the decision to leave you behind.
What? No, I can't. What? What?
It's,
why?
I got it. It's not a worry, Major. We don't need to drag anyone else into this.
Yeah, you know, he's probably right. I probably should come.
Obviously it'd be great to have you there, but really, I mean, you've done enough, I reckon, Jurak. Too many cooks, all that kind of stuff.
Are you worried I'm a better tracker than you? I'm going to show you up.
Heck, I mean, everyone's a better tracker than me. You've done your bit.
If there is a danger that we are to become disoriented on this journey, it would seem beneficial to bring someone who has seen the route, the original route.
We didn't get all the way there. We didn't make it all the way in. Those Daedalus guys are still, I hope, I assume, just swilling around somewhere around here.
Jurak is not in an excellent physical state. Perhaps a good compromise would be for her to accompany us the first part of the way, guide us to where the area where this doubt, disparity of views becomes apparent. She can return back to the camp once we have got started on this problem.
I think Odd kind of visibly checks out at this point. And like, he's not angry or anything. It's just like he suddenly remembered that these things are not his problem anymore. And so he's okay. Yeah. Yep. Sounds like a plan. Don't have a horse in this race. Durak's a great tracker. Works for me.
Listener, will you come with us?
Of course.
Excellent. Is everything all right, Novak?
Well, all due respect, listener, this could be a dangerous operation. Are you weapons trained?
Possibly. I'm not a warrior like you are, Novak, but don't worry about me. I can look after myself.
I'm not worrying. I'm just assessing risk.
That's fair.
You're coming armed though, right, Novak? Because you know, if anyone starts shooting, I'm just going to hit the dirt and let you lot...
And stay out of the way.
Got it.
I think Captain Crevalier will interject at this point and sort of snortingly say, Novak is armed when he goes and takes a shit. Would you think he wouldn't be armed for this?
Just checking.
I think Novak, his face doesn't move, but his eyes kind of crinkle up like his eyes are smiling, but the rest of him isn't.
On that point, I think we were Novak was planning to assemble a little group, right, so that it wasn't just going to be like the PCs going out, all of the command team going out with one red shirt or whatever.
Please, so we should have some red shirts in here.
I'm imagining that we have like a few of whoever you know, Novak, that's like a fighty person.
Steve.
Squiffy. Binty. Tizer.
Tizer. Baz. And Scooby.
And Stanislav.
Brilliant.
Have you got all that, Sue?
Yep. I haven't just written down Stanislav. How many do we need? Should we just pull one out when someone needs to die?
Yeah, there are hit points.
Has the question been answered?
I don't think it has, but like, I feel like we need to move the action to a different location in order to answer it now.
Yeah, so answered as much as we are capable of answering it at the moment, which is to say that there is considerable doubt.
Yeah.
I'm going to collapse the waveform then, unless anybody
disagrees.
Yeah,
the eight ball has given a who knows type answer. Suck it and see.
Perfectly cromulent.
Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing After the War by Jason Pitch and Alistair Stewart. If you're enjoying listening to the podcast, please do rate and review us, as it helps other people to find the show. And come and talk to us on Twitter, where we are at BArmadaTales. You can find all that information and more in the show notes. See you next time. Actually pretty blimmin' difficult to get into our garden at the moment, so...
There's quite a lot of brambles in the top, actually, because we've been really rubbish about cutting them.
When you say the top, I know I always get confused by this, the top you mean the bit nearest to the house?
I mean everything down to the track.
Starting from the house?
Starting from the house and working down towards the track.
Right, so the main part of the garden.
The top of the garden, because the bit beyond the track is the bottom of the garden.
Top of the garden is the sky, the bottom of the garden is the ground.
Well, except we're on
a
slight incline here at the house.
Do you account for the fact that one goes up to Oxford then?
Yeah, Josh, how do you account for
that? I find that very weird.
It's fucking bullshit.
Yes, it is complete bullshit. It's Oxford-centrist nonsense of the worst kind, but nevertheless, it is a thing.
I did go up to Oxford, though, because I lived in Watford, which was below Oxford, so I was going up the country. So I always thought that was... And you, Liz, come from Luton.
Well, across, in my case, because I'm a little bit further north of Watford.
You are quite a bit further
north. If north is up, that means that the right-hand side of our garden is the top,
and the left-hand side is the bottom.
But it's not the house, it's the top of the garden. That's just how
But how do you account for hills? We live on top of a hill, and our garden is a very slight incline, I will grant you, but it is an incline. I have pushed enough wheelbarrows of compost up it to know.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but also, I don't believe that's why you're doing it. I think it's because your family have a history of referring to the bit nearest their house as the top garden, and you're just trying to come up with rationalisation.
I don't think it's them being eccentric. I think that's pretty standard.
Pretty normal.
Yes. I think it's weird.
Yes.
Well, you're an Australian. No, what do you know? Right. All of your directions are the wrong way around.
Yeah. Like, Nick comes from a place where the bottom of the garden is nearest the house because everything else is in the upside down.
We have an outback.
Yes.
Outback.
Doesn't really help.
Yeah, back garden. Front garden. That
yeah,
I can
back garden,
make sense
front garden, and with and
front
the top of
the
garden.
Front garden's the bit nearest the road. Back garden's the bit.
And the front garden doesn't need a top and a bottom because it's very small generally. But in the back garden, and also like our garden is big enough that there's a natural divide at the track. So the bit above the track is the top, and the bit below.
I noticed that Sue's being very quiet, and I
yes.
feel like, you know, democratically. We can resolve this situation.
Yeah, we've got a 2-2 split, Sue. No pressure.
Yeah, come on, Sue.
Well, I mean, what do I get in return? That's what I want to know.
You never have to drink watermelon ale.
Okay, yeah. That gets my vote.
The respect of your peers. Well, half
yeah, but which peers is the problem?
Whose respect do you most
well, exactly.
crave in this relationship?
Oh, no,
so.
This is an ugly road we're going down.
You could just give your honest opinion on whether it's...
No, don't be ridiculous.
The top and bottom thing does make sense to me. I don't know where that's come from, but it... Yeah, I was like, yeah, top of the garden. Yeah.
Democracy's overrated.
It does make me think of like English children's literature.
Well, I was an English child once.
Me too.
Seems like
also,
the sort of thing that they might say.
You get fairies at the bottom of the garden.
Yeah, get fairies
right.
at the bottom yeah. of the garden.
That is definitely a thing.
They wouldn't come near the house.
Okay, so here's a question, right? I used to live in a house
with fairies.
Where the slope went the other direction. Would you then refer to the end Ooh. Of the garden as the top in that house?
I think I'd be more likely to say end because it would feel a bit weird.
I might say up garden.
Up garden?
Up garden.
Just going up garden.
Yeah. Up garden and down garden.
If it was that much of an incline, that would disrupt the...
It was quite
but now I'm imagining like literally just an almost vertical cliff outside the back door.
Well, his parents were rock climbers, so